Hi, my name is Scott Jashonik, and I'm here to talk to you a little bit about storage options for HPC workloads and specifically how you might use Azure to accomplish that. To keep things simple, I'm going to jump in and talk a little bit about the various storage that you would consider with a high-performance computing workload. A lot of times, you might put all of this into a singular system, but depending on the scale and the needs of the particular aspects of your workload, you might need a variety of tools, and that's what this chart sort of spells out for you. For example, looking at the top left, you might have a particular scheduler you use, like LSF or PBS or Slurm, and a scheduler typically deals with a lot of small files and a lot of transactions and has to be very responsive to the HPC environment as clients come online and do their jobs and mark them done. You may want to consider using a database, or you might roll your own scheduler system on a VM with a local disk to get the best performance. That particular behavior might not fit as well with some of these other ones. So tools and tool chains, this particular one might be, let's say you have a very large high performance computing workload. Let's say you're doing some sort of simulation workload and it's a lot of VMs or a lot of cores, and you have to read libraries and source data in as quickly as possible across a large number of these virtual machines. And you have to get that done very quickly so that the job can start and the job starts in a reasonably non-staggered way. So you might need something that will give you scale with very low latency for those reads. And you may typically want that particular data to be on a shared storage environment, depending on the way that you're sourcing the tools. Like, for example, perhaps the tools are sitting in a shared library that gets updated from time to time. So copying all of the tool files to local disks on all the VMs in the HPC cluster can still be accomplished, but you have to be cognizant of the change potential that could occur, and maybe you lose track of a change. In terms of scratch space, ultimately, that might be something in the middle of your workload that the individual HPC cluster nodes have to write out results that then are reread back into the job, perhaps not even by the same node, but by another node. And the ability to write that data out very quickly and perhaps then have that data being concurrently accessed by multiple nodes is very important. It does also imply that there are many circumstances where scratch space might be local to the individual HPC client, where they're reading what they're writing, but there may be situations where that becomes a shared stored requirement, and so you have to be aware that that data might be accessed by other nodes. Checkpointing might mean writing out the state of your job at any given time. And subsequently, if there's an interruption, being able to recover from that place. And so that's very write sensitive, and you might consider some sort of shared storage environment for that. And then ultimately, after you run your job, you have to push the results out to something. And the results may be consumed immediately. Say you're in a precision medicine environment and you've done some analysis and you're working with a patient, you might, this is the future. You may have run some analysis and now you need to consume that information to help inform what decisions you're making about a particular medication. But ultimately, maybe it's I need to put that data in a shared environment where my researchers can then access it. And so being able to put it somewhere that it's accessible is really important. And it does vary depending on the various workloads. I mentioned some life sciences scenarios there, but it could be I'm a hedge fund and I'm doing Monte Carlo simulations and I just need that to go as fast as possible. And then I really want to put it one place and I don't care about it after that. Ultimately, though, let's say that I am in life sciences or autonomous vehicles, I may have quite a lot of data and I need to put that data somewhere. And I'm probably over time going to want to not use a lot of that data, meaning that I have to keep it, but I may not access it. And so that's where the notion of a tiered data lake comes into play. I would want to put that data in something that's vast enough that I can store a lot of data on the order of petabytes. But then ultimately, I may percolate certain data up into a hot tier to read down into an archive tier where I may never access it again, but that archive tier is very inexpensive. And so you have these various needs in an overall complex HPC environment. And frankly, the HPC aspect of this might be in the center, and then there might be activity going on before and after that particular job is done that involve databases and other things. So when you're making decisions about what particular storage to use, these are the kind of factors that go in and the drivers that that ultimately help you make your storage choices. Chief among them is, what are my performance and scale expectations? Am I going to require a lot of concurrent access? Let's say I'm running, a small simulation with a single VM. It's not really a big consideration, but if I'm doing a serious HPC workload with thousands of cores and they're reading a lot of data and I need them to read that data quickly and run very fast, then I'm going to care about the access and throughput considerations. Importantly, the larger the job gets, the more important this concept of latency is. So this is really down to, let's say I have 1,000 cores and they're all trying to access a particular piece of data. And once they access that data, then they can go on running the job. If there is any interference or any slowness or back off in reading those particular files, that could then serve to slow the job down. It could cause some staggering in the job that I'm not looking for, and then contribute to potential failure scenarios in that situation. File sizes and quantities. So, my file sizes could range from a multi-terabyte file that has a lot of genomic information in it, all the way down to, billions of 1K files, depending on what it is that I'm doing. And so it matters what I'm looking at and how I'm going to read that data. And ultimately, it matters a lot what I'm writing out to. So if I'm writing a very large file sequentially, that's a vastly different use case than if I'm writing out a lot of very small files. And then all of that conspires into what we call the job runtime, which means that I could, my storage choices will help drive how fast my jobs will run. And I have to assess whether or not the runtime matters to my underlying business need. Then ultimately, the rest of these factor in. Access really boils down to what access methods am I comfortable with in terms of, for example, disk means I'm copying data onto individual disks in the HPC cluster. There's a lot of, use cases where that is perfectly appropriate, and Azure has managed disks that you can attach to your VMs that can help facilitate that. But it might also be like a shared NAS where it's unstructured data, so it wouldn't fit in a database properly, and I need to read that data quickly or write data out. That might be the fit. Blob, which is Azure's object storage environment, that's the vast, cheap and deep storage mechanism. And, I encourage you to look at Azure's Blob, and it has this capability called Data Lake Service. This is a namespace that you can put on top of your objects, which means that you can get protocol access to your objects using things like HDFS or using NFS. And then ultimately, things like protocols are going to matter. In the sense of, let's say I'm running a workload in my data center and I want to put it up into Azure. And let's say in my data center, I'm using NFS. Can I use NFS in the cloud? That's what this really comes down to, is I have to consider, like, if I'm running a Lustre environment in my data center today, is there a capability in Azure that would allow me to do that? And we do have tools such as we have a very, very large Cray cluster store capability if you have a serious workload of that size. But we also do have a lot of roll-your-own options in terms of building BGFS and Lustre and other capabilities. So I encourage you to look at that as well. And it always boils down to costs, which, in that previous drawing, I may have tiers of storage and I may also have different methods of access, and the costs might vary with those different methods. And so to sum it all up, you could take that same picture that I showed you before with those different characteristics, and you can apply different capabilities in Azure to all of these things. So in the case of scheduler, I might use managed disks on a machine that's running the scheduler, which is perfectly fine. Or I might use, Azure's SQL service, SQL DB service, or I might roll my own MySQL. It's really up to you. And I might use something like shared storage. In case of tools, I might use something like local disks or managed disks, or I might use Azure NetApp Files or We have a tool called HPC Cache that you might want to look at if your data is still on-prem and you want to serve that up into Azure Compute. Ultimately, in terms of scratch space and checkpointing, I might use Azure NetApp Files or Azure Files or other capabilities like that. And then ultimately, I might want to consider using a data lake. And the data lake would be based on Blob, and I might use multiple tiers of storage based on access and cost. And from that data lake, I'd be able to serve up and move data into these different environments to leverage based on my needs. And so this is a way that you could look at the storage architecture that suggests different tools. And I encourage you to go to azure.com and look at the storage options, and you can see how these various capabilities map to our services and products. Thank you very much.